Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. It's hour two. We are live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Joel Klatt next hour. Chris Broussard coming up later next hour. Get to Eric Mangini in a second. J-Mac going to UFC 300 tomorrow. Ann's going to go with me. The pageantry.
Sounds fun. Maybe you'll see Aaron Rodgers and Joe Rogan there hanging out.
Well, Joe Rogan's, I think, the ring announcer. He's one of the announcers.
I think he's at all of them, yeah.
Yeah, he knows his stuff. He knows UFC. I don't think Aaron will be there.
That's cool. You think they'll do any conspiracy?
We could have a presidential candidate there. Hope to avoid him.
Joe Biden's going? Is he? Isn't that past his bedtime? No, that's a joke. That is a joke. I'm sorry.
Wasn't a bad joke. I saw this. So college sports fans are wacko. The SEC is like a different level of tribalism. So Kentucky's really, really mad. Their fans are mad that they hired Mark Pope, who went to Kentucky, who went to med school at Columbia briefly, qualified before he got a job, who won like 23 games a year at BYU and is really smart. You win 23 games a year at BYU, you're a pretty good basketball coach. I'd say you could win 28 games at Kentucky. He's also the anti-John Calipari, where he likes guys that can shoot and have skill over guys with high ceilings, who he's going to develop for 6 months. He's got great confidence in his coaching. He likes guys that can shoot and high on the skill. So not a big sales pitch guy, though he does have a personality. But, you know, Calipari's sales pitch is, don't worry about March, I'll make you rich. Mark Pope's is, hey, you'll come in, you'll play, and we're going to win games, and we can do well in the tournament. Now, he doesn't have a tournament win, but where's he coached? Give me all the bowl wins for Chip Kelly before he got to Oregon. Talent in coaching comes from somewhere. You don't get a start usually at Duke. So, Dan Hurley, the problem with Kentucky is this delusion. They just got turned down by coaches that weren't real candidates. Dan Hurley said not interested, nor should he be. He's in a better program. Jay Wright's like not interested, been there, done that. I was at Villanova. I don't need to go to Kentucky. And Billy Donovan coaches the Chicago Bulls, has a better life than a college coach who's constantly recruiting. So those three candidates are all probably better candidates than Mark Pope. That doesn't guarantee they'll do better, but they weren't real candidates. And so Kentucky, as SEC fans are prone to do, the wacko fans were calling the home phone numbers of, like, Kentucky administrators last night. Maybe that's a reason word gets out people don't want the job, is that you're unrealistic. So, I mean, Calipari was not a bad coach. I think his sales pitch wore thin, and he the culture changed and he wouldn't change. But Mark Pope was great high school player, great college player, Kentucky Wildcat, won at BYU, went to a med school before he got a job. He's a good candidate. Well, he didn't win this and he didn't win that. I got news for you. Nick Saban wasn't that successful at Michigan State. Got fired in the NFL. You start looking around, where do the good young coaches come from? They got to come from somewhere. Here was a little snippet of Pope and his personality at BYU.
There's one secret to making shots. I was with Reggie Miller for 2 years. I was with Ray Allen for 2 years. I played for Larry Bird. Being with those guys, you know that there's a secret to making shots. The problem is I have no idea what that secret is.
For the record, could you have argued that the Houston Texans should have hired Belichick based on his resume? No, they went with a young guy, D'Amico Ryans, who hit it out of the park. Where do the next great coaches come from? Usually smaller schools, lesser programs. You know, I covered Jay Wright when he was assistant at UNLV, and I knew he would be great. He just wasn't ready at the time. And then he goes to Villanova, he starts coaching, takes him a while, builds his program up. But Mark Pope is not a bad candidate. How many coaches got into Columbia Med School, scaled back? He played there. He was a great player. He's winning at BYU, which moved into the Big 12, which is, wasn't the Big 12 last year the best college basketball conference, arguably? A tough place to win games. With that, Eric Mangini, Fox Sports NFL analyst, Browns Jets head coach. By the way, before you got your head coaching job, I remember talking about this young guy, and the Jets could have easily gone for a bigger name. Who were the bigger names on the market when the Jets hired you?
Gosh, that's a long time ago, Colin. I don't know who the big names were. It was actually a little bit of a movement towards younger coaches at that time. And then, you know, after I got there and the first year we ended up being successful and going to the playoffs, that movement continued. And I think Mike Tomlin came pretty soon after me. There's like four or five guys that we were all kind of in the same age group. And that's how it is, you know, in the NFL. It's so cyclical. You get the young guys and then they move away and then they may move to more mature guys. But I agree with you. You got to give young guys a chance to prove that they can do it. And typically they're going to come from programs that have had problems that they've made successful. And now they have an influx of huge talent, and they're really successful.
Yeah. So I was saying this about Jordan Love. I remember when he came out, there were varying opinions on Jordan Love from my sources through the league. But I can remember one of the people that liked him saying, listen, young people more than older players need support because they're forming, they're refining, they're figuring out who they are. So an assistant for a young player can be vital to their success. You know, a Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, I mean, they kind of know what they do, get out of their way. They know what they do. They've got their habits formed and their confidence built. And so Drake May's an interesting one where I talked to an executive and they're like, go to his tape the year before. He was throwing people open. His anticipation was better. He goes, you just don't know. Did he lose a quarterback coach, a receiver, a right tackle? So what was your evaluation on a Drake May that has had better stuff like a Jordan Love earlier? How would you fall on that as a draft evaluator?
Yeah, you want to look at the whole picture, and I'm not that high on Drake May. I didn't love him when I watched him on tape, and I think we talked about this before. I like Jaden Daniels more in the first half against Alabama than the three games that I did on Drake May this year, and the one concern I have is the sacks. I mean, a year ago it was 40 sacks. This year was 29 sacks. I don't love the TD to interception ratio that he has. It's a little Sam Darnold-esque. And then when you look at Sam Darnold back in college, his senior year he had 29 sacks. This year Drake May had 29 sacks. Or not his senior year, but his last year he had 29 sacks. And it's very similar in terms of interceptions to touchdowns. I think he had 24 touchdowns and 13 picks. And what's Drake May have, like 22 and 9? Or it's close. So, very close numbers wise, and I get the excitement about Drake May, and there's a lot of positive things about him, and you see the potential. There's also some big inconsistencies that I struggled with as I watched him, and you know, there is the potential component to it, and you hope that you can get that potential out of them. But I have a little bit of the same feeling that I had when I watched Sam Darnold in college.
Somebody I trust told me the Giants will take a quarterback if Jaden Daniels dropped. I don't think he will, because I believe Caleb's one, Jaden Daniels to Washington, I've been told, is two. But if he dropped, the Giants can do a lot of different things. They'll move down. They'll get a receiver. I was told more than any team in the draft, the Giants are just going to wait and see what happens. They prefer not. They don't have enough talent to give up years of draft capital. And they don't believe Daniel Jones is the kind of guy that can take them where they want to go privately. So here's my thing. If, let's say, Drake May falls to the Giants, and you're like, well, we think he's better than what we have, but he has holes. What would you do if you ran the Giants and one of these, J.J. McCarthy was available, Drake May was available. We know Penix and Bo Nix will be. So Caleb's off the board. Jaden's off the board. Would you go quarterback if the other guys are available?
Unless I firmly believe that this guy's going to be our quarterback for the next 10 years and that he can actually get us to where we need to go, and you're not hoping, you're not trying to sit in the room with the you know, head of the draft and the pro personnel guys and the owners and convince yourself that he's better than Daniel Jones, because in that case, it's a mistake.
Yeah.
You're going to spend $92 million on Daniel Jones. And you really lost Saquon Barkley because you made that decision with Daniel Jones. And they've spent a lot of money this offseason. They've spent the seventh most money of any team in the NFL. And there are other holes. And I really believe that Brian Daboll can get the most out of Daniel Jones. And I think he'll do a good job with a rookie quarterback as well. But unless you have a firm conviction that the guy you're taking in that spot is not only going to be better than Daniel Jones now, but he's going to be there for the next 10 years and gives you a chance to win a championship. Otherwise, it's probably going to end up getting Brian fired, because there's going to be tremendous pressure to play that guy, and he's probably not going to be ready. And when he comes in, he's probably not going to be better than Daniel Jones. And ownership's going to look at it and say, we spent a lot of money on this player, and now we had to go take another guy with the sixth pick in the draft. They start to question your decision making. So I would say, if anything, draft the best player to either help Daniel Jones or push back and get more firepower to improve the overall team.
Well, you know New England well. I've made the argument that if you move down in the draft and just go get skill players and draft capital, and then if your team is that young, if you hit on 7 or 8 draft picks, then go pay for a free agent quarterback next year, because I don't believe even Caleb Williams could succeed with this lack of playmakers. I think you have, and for me, there's two quarterbacks I love, and then everything else is really situational. And I think Jaden Daniels is going to work with Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, he's had that kind of player before. I think Caleb's going to work. The Bears are a much better situation. After that, it's where you lay. Whoever goes to Minnesota with Kevin and those raw weapons will do fine. But I look at New England and I'm like, boy, I could really be talked in if I was Robert Kraft. Move down, get picks, get faster, and let's just go to the free agent market next year. Is that crazy?
No, I don't think it's crazy, but it's a little bit like they say, you should never go shopping hungry. And right now New England is hungry for a quarterback, and they've got Jacoby Brissett, and he's got 18 wins, and they've got Bailey Zappi, and he's got 4 wins. So there's not a lot there, and the fan base is looking for the answer to who's going to be the next Tom Brady. But you're right again. If there's not the conviction in that spot, either trade back and try to build the roster and maybe pick up another number one for next season and understand that this is a transitional year, and it may not be what everybody wants to hear and what everybody wants to see in New England, because they're used to so much success for so long. But there are a lot of things that have to get better. So to bring another quarterback in there, they just did that with a rookie quarterback, and that didn't work out. So to bring another guy in, again, that you don't know or don't have a true belief that he can be the guy, to me, it's just trying to win the press conference as opposed to trying to win long term.
All right, here's Tom Brady on a podcast. I want you to listen to this from a guy you know well. Here's Tom Brady.
Let's say one day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs, offense is great. God forbid somebody goes down. would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
All right, Eric, what do you make of that?
I love it. I thought it was going to happen last year. I thought that he was coming back last year. I thought he was going to play for the 49ers last season. And I definitely felt that if someone needed him late, he would have answered that call last season. And it couldn't be more clear. The fact that he's putting it out there, that he could do it, he'll be ready to do it, he'll be open to do it. To me, that's about as clear a message as he can send to any team that's interested, that he's ready. And you know, he's got to be sitting there watching Joe Flacco last year and think,
right,
I can do this, and I can do this at a really high level, and I've got an opportunity to maybe go win another Super Bowl if I get with the right team. I thought it was so interesting that he brought up the Patriots. I mean, can you ever imagine if he went back to New England and they had a ton of success and it wasn't with Bill, and what kind of controversy and debates that would create?
Well, I mean, the two that jump out to me are both in the NFC North. So between Kevin O'Connell and those weapons and that left tackle tight end run game, if Sam Darnold started 0-3, I could see absolutely Kevin O'Connell saying, listen, I got J.J. McCarthy. He's not ready to play. Tom, I'm going to have this kid watch you for a year. Or if Jared Goff with that thing, that Detroit team's got about 2 years until they have to pay the whole roster. They're not paying him. I could see if Jared Goff got banged up, like, you want to come play? So, I mean, I think people forget this is not Drew Brees or Peyton Manning or Marino where they were shot physically. Tom's last year in Tampa with no run game, he had 5 game-winning drives. He threw for 4,700 yards. I mean, you remember his last year. What did you make of it?
Colin, what about if Brock Purdy has a down season? What if he gets dinged up late in the year? And the thing that people forget about Tom is it was never about mobility with him. That was the last thing that was known in terms of his game. So as he gets older, that's never been something that's hurt the way that he's been able to produce. And to bring in someone like Tom with his level of not just experience, but winning to a team that's really good and balanced, you've got a real shot at that point. He is a legitimate answer to a problem for a good team, especially late in the season.
Eric Mangini, are you going to be on First Things First today? You're in the studio, right? So you'll be.
I'm in the studio. Yes.
All right. Good luck. Good luck on that show. They're a little crazy. We're a little more sedated here.
Have fun this weekend.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, you know, that's interesting. Brock Purdy has another elbow issue. Yeah, you know what? I'll never root against anybody. But if Brady took control of that organization and won a trophy, would you then acknowledge, here comes Brady off the senior tour, grabs the clubs and wins the Masters? Wouldn't you be acknowledged now? Okay.
So what, 47-year-old Tom Brady takes control of the organization. Brock Purdy was just, what, a caddy for Debo Samuel and everybody? Come on, Colin.
You think that Brady...
You are on fire today.
You don't think the Brady thing...
No, there was something to Eric, Brady, remember.
Eric said he put it out there for the league to hear it. Tom is strategic.
He also had a smile on his face. He wants to help this barber go viral, or I'm assuming that's a barber, right?
Well, it's not a mechanic. Yeah. So, I mean,
he wants to help the guy out. Come on. He had a smile on his face.
What he also said twice he indicated, I'd take the call. Aren't you kind of putting stuff out there?
Listen, I love it here. If Barkley and Shaq say, man, McIntyre, we like the cut of your jib. I take the call. What am I doing? I take the call from them. I'm probably not going to go, but I take a call.
Sure. Okay.
All right. Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Friday, Joel Klatt last hour, live from the Ohio State spring game. Did you read that Ohtani stuff? I went home last night, read more on that stuff. That's a sad story, man. Well, what's that look? What's that body language?
I still feel bad for Ohtani.
I feel terrible for him.
16 mil? This guy was just a degenerate. So it appears he was like buddies with him, close friends, interpreter for 3 years. And at some point in 2021, he decided, I'm going to just start stealing money and gamble that away. I'm very curious what happened. Maybe he just saw up close, this guy Ohtani's loaded. He's not going to notice if I just start taking
money. Well, money and sex makes people validate bad decisions. And for men, and your ego, your id gets involved, and that's sociopathic, that you could do that. The fact that you could do that to anybody is discouraging. I couldn't do it to anybody. To do it to a friend, you're a sociopath.
And then remember, he's hanging out with him every single day.
But there are guys doing this all over. There are guys hitting on buddies' wives. There are sociopaths among us. They're all over the place. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, I think 99% of the people are good people, but there are people that are, I mean, my wife sat on a plane yesterday with somebody, and she sat next to a sociopath, was screaming at people on the plane because she touched his bag. No, like got out of, you know, she's like, I'm not married to him. I don't know him. Like crazy town, because somebody touched his bag. It was a nice bag and just went ballistic on like airline workers. There's people out there they'll justify behavior, justify criminal behavior just because they feel they're important and they're, hey, it's no big deal for you. You see it all over society. Thank God it's a small, most people are very decent. Most people would be gutted by this. But what he's doing, I have seen pro athletes and entertainers robbed by agents and allies my whole life.
Yeah.
De Niro, Billy Joel, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, Kareem. You're smart guys, people that know what they're doing. Robbed by allies.
Yeah, I think it's something to do with just entitlement. For the first time in my life, Colin, I had someone this week threaten to take me to court over something. And I said, I mean, this isn't, are you speaking like English? Does this make sense? Like, people are just crazy and just think they're entitled to do a bunch of stuff. I was like, I don't know. I feel bad for Ohtani. I don't know how he's handling this.
Yeah. J-Mac with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Start with the Houston Texans. Blockbuster offseason, adding Stephon Diggs. Remember, they got to the playoffs last year. C.J. Stroud went off. Now they're trying to build a contender while Hannah McNair, the wife of Cal McNair, is saying, we want to win now. We've seen their win total spike.
I was I thought they'd pull back a little, but they've made more great moves.
No, they're going all in. I think they added, I think I saw 11 new bodies to the team. Just adding guys left and right.
Before the draft.
Yeah.
Remember last year, and you could go back and find us archived, I'm sure it's somewhere, but we had said, because we have a guy on the staff, Greg, that's from Houston.
Oh, that's
so.
Right, yeah.
And I had said during last year's offseason, I said, they're making a bunch of really smart B to B plus moves. Dalton Schultz. It's not an A. You didn't get Travis Kelce, but very productive tight end. And they just started adding guys, and you're like, God, it's the Houston Texans. And then their draft, and you're like, oh, they hit a couple of home runs. And this offseason, again, like it's people don't win by osmosis or coincidence. Like, the Houston Texans now have a very sharp GM, a great coach, a great coordinator, and a star quarterback. They're not doing it. It's not a matter of the AFC South being weak. They hit on several key things. And the other thing that jumps out to me with the Texans' growth is Nick Casario was in New England. Why were their drafts so damn bad for the last 6 years? He goes to Houston, and they're crushing it. It tells you that Belichick usurped some of his power and had too much of it. Because New England was awful at the draft. Same guy leaves, go to Houston, and they're terrific in the draft.
Okay, but, and this, we'll never know the answer to this, but how much of it was just luck that C.J. Stroud fell to them? And Carolina picked the wrong guy. Now, if C.J. Stroud goes to Carolina, I don't know.
It's not luck, because they also hit on the coordinator, and the coach, and Tank Dell, and Dalton Schultz. Luck is Powerball. This isn't luck. Were they fortunate that they got C.J. Stroud? But the reason C.J. Stroud, then they also, by the way, traded up for Will Anderson, if you recall.
And at the time, people were like, you're trading up for a defensive end. And I think it was Arizona had their pick. And people were like, oh, Arizona's going to have two top five pick next year. I said that myself. It didn't look like the smartest trade. What's interesting, Colin, with all these new faces and bodies, and strong personalities. Joe Mixon, you saw on that list. Stephon Diggs, young quarterback. How is that soup going to work? Is everything going to go together nicely? And that's a tall order for their young head coach, D'Amico Ryan. That's a very difficult one, is it not?
I think I felt like because they won their division, I thought they would get a tougher schedule. And I felt like, okay, Herbert's going to get a real coach. And here comes Joe Burrow. And the conference is going to be better. Aaron Rodgers will be healthy. But boy, once again, I watch what they're doing and I'm like, they just got smart guys. I know there's a lot of people out there that think success is luck. Houston has turned around a shipwreck in a year and a half based on smart people making really smart moves. Do you know that they reached out to me? This is people that do their homework. So I did an interview with Notre Dame safety, Kyle Hamilton, at my house because he was on a podcast network.
Okay.
The Houston Texans saw it, literally reached out to me. And they're like, hey, do you got 5 minutes? What were your interpretations of him as a human being? So I wrote him an email on the strengths, this or that. But I thought to myself, that's somebody that now Baltimore went and got him. But the Texans literally reached out and they were like, you spent 35 minutes with him. What were your interpretations? Nice. They just wanted information from any source. Yeah. And I was like, that's real homework. I've had people on this show. If I've had somebody, I had a quarterback, and I had somebody reach out and say, what was he like off the air when the camera wasn't on? That's just people seeking information. I like people that do that in any business.
Super hot take, Colts win the division.
I don't think that's a hot take. I think Shane Steichen's great.
I think that's where the betting value is.
Here's a hot take. That division's going to end up being much better than people think.
Two playoff teams, bro.
Yeah, so that division was weak, but I think Jacksonville now with Trevor Lawrence is healthy in Houston.
I forgot about Jacksonville. Dang.
No, that division's no longer. Don't confuse it with the NFC South.
Well, last year it was Bills and Dolphins in the AFC East. I think both will miss the playoffs this year.
All right. Good luck with that.
Super hot take. All right. Next up, J.J. McCarthy jumping up draft boards leading up to the draft. One NFL GM is not as impressed. An anonymous GM told The Athletic he hasn't seen the positives that we're hearing about McCarthy now. The GM also said McCarthy never had to carry Michigan and was driving a damn Cadillac, whatever that means.
Well, he was, by the way, the best Cadillac on the streets. Well, you could say that about C.J. Stroud. I mean, look at all the great players he played with. At some point, We think J.J. McCarthy's talented. I do not see what everybody else sees in terms of, like, superstar, but what do I know? I think there's two quarterbacks that feel different. Caleb Williams would succeed almost anywhere, and I think Jaden Daniels is really good, really consistently good. After that, wherever whoever lands in Minnesota has a strong likelihood, whoever it is, they'll succeed. And if Sean Payton gets a guy, I think Sean Payton and Kevin O'Connell, Denver and Minnesota, who they land has a higher chance to succeed than if they ended up with just an average coach or a defensive coach.
You know what my takeaway from that is? Is the Athletic was talking to a GM who's like over 65 years old, because nobody references Cadillacs anymore. It's all about the Lambo, the McLaren.
Oh, that's a good point.
The real car.
So who are the oldest GMs in the league?
I'll siphon through that at the next commercial break and get back
to
you.
That's a good call by you.
Yeah. Final story is the Vikings, your favorite team in the league next year. They lose Kirk Cousins to the Falcons, and they're sitting at 11th in the draft. They have the capital to move up, and their GM spoke about why Minnesota sees plenty of great options in this quarterback class.
There's multiple guys that we are in love with just on an outright basis, but there's also other guys that we're in love with, given what, if we get them at a certain value, what they'd also be able to come with, right? So as I talked about earlier, skill set wise, if you're talking about ability to overcome context, well, if the guy's got less ability, but we have assets to go get somebody who's not going to put him in that situation, those things add up too. A lot of times evaluators can be a little one-track mind. This is the guy and nobody else. That's not how it's been. We've really come to appreciate how guys get to their answer a different way, and I think that's going to serve us well.
I like what Minnesota's done. They move off Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook, top five running back. What are they doing?
And by the way, he kind of disappeared.
It was a good timing. They move off Kirk Cousins. They dump Madison, the backup to Dalvin Cook. They know you can just plug in a guy, Ty Chandler, whoever. I'm not as excited about them as you are this season. Going forward, yes, but
Minnesota in my life, the Vikings have almost never been awful. They don't have Green Bay's titles. But they remind me a lot of Kansas City, pre-Mahomes. I always thought of them as a tough team, good at home. So I grew up in the 70s. They were great for years with Bud Grant.
Purple people eaters.
Fran Tarkenton, Alan Page. I mean, Ahmad Rashad. They were just great. They were always good.
I remember is Dante Culpepper, Randy Moss, and
those were
Chris
fun years.
Carter. Those teams were nasty.
Yeah.
I think 15-1.
Like, it's just one of those things where, you know, you look at Minnesota and everybody kind of, I look at him like the Kansas City Chiefs. If Mahomes goes to Kansas City, or if Mahomes goes to Minnesota, not Kansas City, the Vikings run the league. The ownership is solid. They've had really solid personnel moves. They always have good players. I mean, they move off Stephon Diggs, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Osborne, TJ Hawkinson, Aaron Jones. Dude, they're off it. Their left tackle's the best young left tackle. I always think Minnesota's full of smart people and well-run. It's just they haven't won the game. J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
It's almost like, I know I go old school here, and it really bothers J-Mac, but when the Golden State Warriors got great, I'll give you a great example. So I grew up in the 70s is when I fell in love with sports. Well, the Warriors were great. They had Rick Barry and Jeff Mullen and Al Attles and Clifford Ray and I think Keith Wilkes. I think I'm just throwing guys out there. But they were really, really good. And it was an incredible basketball city. And then they were bad forever. But the city still loved the Warriors. So when you watch the Warriors now, it's easy to say, oh, the fans are bandwagon fans. But I always thought it was for years and years, like Chicago, I go to watch the Bulls twice in the last month. The place is sold out. The team's not any good. Chicago's a very good, I grew up with the Bulls years and years and years, when in the 70s, and they had like Bob Love, and they just, Michael took a really good fan base, and it exploded for 10, 12 years. And that's what Steph Curry's done. But there are a lot of cities out there that are great cities, but they've been poorly owned or poorly run. And so, you know, I mean, like when you look at the Cleveland Browns, when have they not loved the NFL? My entire life, the Browns have been one of the top five fan bases in the league. They've had a lot of bad owners. It's not their fault.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, we're Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio every day, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. But here's the thing. We never have enough time to get to everything we want to get to.
And that's why we have a brand new podcast called Overpromised. You see, we're having so much fun in our two-hour show, we never get to everything. Honestly, because this guy is over-promising things we never have time for. Yeah, you blubber lips.
Blaming me. Well, you know what? It's called over-promise. You should be good at it because you've been over-promising women for years.
Well, it's a Covino and Rich after show, and we want you to be a part of it. We're going to be talking sports, of course, but we're also going to talk life and relationships. And if Rich and I are arguing about something or we didn't have enough time, it will continue on our after show called Over-Promised.
Well, if you don't get enough Covino and Rich, make sure you check out Over-Promised and also Uncensored, by the way, so maybe we'll go at it even a little harder. It's going to be the best after-show podcast of all time.
There you go. Over-promising. Perfect. And remember, you could see it on YouTube, but definitely join us. Listen to Over-Promised with Covino and Rich on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Tomorrow on Fox, catch Ohio State's annual Scarlet and Gray game, where Coach Ryan Day and the Buckeyes begin a pivotal season and look to rise to the top of college football once again. It all kicks off at noon Eastern on Fox.
So outside of the NFL, every sport in America is overwhelmingly dependent on who is winning. In college football, Michigan got really great last year. Michigan has a massive national fan base. The ratings went up. The Big Ten this year, adding Washington and USC and Oregon, popular programs, UCLA. The ratings for the Big Ten, the people upstairs are indicating it'll pop 15 to 20%. Texas, Oklahoma to the SEC will help the numbers. You know, I mean, Serena is hard to replace. Roger Federer, hard to replace. John McEnroe, hard to replace. So almost all sports outside of maybe in England, the English Premier League, they're going to watch Liverpool regardless. And in the NFL, we watch the NFL regardless. But in the NBA, we were just talking during the break. What if the Warriors and Lakers both don't get in? Steph, AD, LeBron, Draymond Green. Villains or not, those are big names in the West. People don't know OKC yet. Now, OKC is really good, but people don't really follow Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert and Ann Edwards like Steph and LeBron. That's why it's really important that the Knicks with Jalen Brunson are playing great basketball. Like, it's really important for the NBA, because after Boston, Milwaukee's not, it's not driving a number. And so it's interesting to me this weekend, you're getting into a situation that play-in tournament. I mean, if LeBron gets launched out and Steph Curry, now I tend to believe the Warriors are more valuable than LeBron at this point, because I think the Warriors' style of play, they've got the beloved Steph Curry and the villain Draymond. So I don't think LeBron's necessarily a villain anymore, but AD is not, you know, he's not driving a number. I do think if the Warriors get bounced in the playoffs, it is bad for the NBA. If the Lakers get bounced and the Warriors make a surge, don't kid yourself. Steph Curry, to me, drives a bigger rating than anybody in this sport. Any franchise, any player, including LeBron, it's driven by Steph Curry. His style of play is more fun than LeBron, you know, taking wild shots. It's like Caitlin Clark at Iowa. It's nothing against Iowa or women's college basketball. Caitlin Clark drove those numbers. Her games got huge numbers, and then the game that followed right after got huge numbers. You take Caitlin out, it's not the same TV rating. So it's interesting. At the end of the year, you got everybody in the league playing tonight and Sunday. It does matter who gets into these NBA playoffs. By the way, speaking of Karl Anthony Towns, the New York Knicks, so we know that all stars are not the same in the NBA. So the Timberwolves, Karl Anthony Towns is coming back. He's been hurt. They're actually a better team statistically when he was out. They play faster. They hit more threes. Minnesota offensively was a better team. Look at these numbers. Look at these numbers without Cat. Points per game, assists per game, fast break points, especially fast break points. They're a faster team without Karl Anthony Towns. What does this mean? Teams like the Warriors and Knicks that are looking for a big who can score, Minnesota is looking at this thinking, we already got a big. This is an Ant Edwards team. We can move off this. We are in a weird way, the injury has let Minnesota get a real view of this club without their second big. My take is they'll move off if the Knicks and Warriors or somebody calls. Julius Randle's also interesting. So he's out, and the Knicks have been great without him. And so if you look at Julius Randle, his price tag, and what he historically has done in the playoffs, he disappears in the playoffs. He's a guy that plays with heavy, heavy effort, big minutes, heavy effort. That's great for the regular season. But if you go look at his playoff career average, he's a very average player. 17 a game, 34% from the floor, too many turnovers. So the Knicks, similarly, Julius Randle has a market. Karl Anthony Towns has a market, but both the Knicks and the T-Wolves have gotten a little bit of a break. They have watched their team without really good players who they're probably privately wondering about moving, and their teams are fine without them. The Knicks now run more of their plays through Jalen Brunson. He's on fire. He's great. I mean, Luka got in the way of him. It looks like Julius Randle a little bit gets in the way of Jalen Brunson. So Luka and Jalen. So I'm watching Jalen Brunson last night, and I've watched him live here recently. This kid is, next to Ewing, he is the Knicks. This is the best Knicks star in a long time. So Karl Anthony Towns leaves Minnesota. They actually play at a faster pace. They're a little better offensively. Julius Randle leaves the Knicks. You think you lose this and that and this. But in the playoffs, there's an argument. They'll be less reliant on him, won't have to create shots for him, and it'll be more Jalen Brunson's team. So just things to think about. I don't know. I think Karl Anthony Towns and Julius Randle, especially Karl Anthony Towns, there are teams out there that need a 20-point-a-game, 22-point-a-game big. Warriors do, Knicks do, among others. All right, Tom Brady said on a podcast, J-Mac is downplaying it, but I do think certain athletes, when they become like cottage industries, they're strategic. They put stuff out there. LeBron, I've seen do it. I've seen Brady do it. It's not a bad thing. They put stuff out there. So Brady put it out there on a podcast. Hey, if somebody calls, I'll take the call. Well, he wouldn't say it twice. Tom's no dummy. He wouldn't say it twice. He's looking around at Joe Flacco and thinking. Anyway, Eric Mangini, who coached around Brady for years, his thoughts on what Tom said.
The fact that he's putting it out there, that he could do it, he'll be ready to do it, he'll be open to do it, to me, that's about as clear a message as he can send to any team that's interested, that he's ready. And you know, he's got to be sitting there watching Joe Flacco last year and think, I can do this. And I can do this at a really high level, and I've got an opportunity to maybe go win another Super Bowl if I get with the right team. And the thing that people forget about Tom is it was never about mobility with him. That was the last thing that was known in terms of his game. So as he gets older, that's never been something that's hurt the way that he's been able to produce.
Do you think the league's better with Brady in it next year? I do. I think it's more fascinating. I think we're in the story business. He goes to a Minnesota or San Francisco? Are you kidding me?
Okay, I'm not going to answer that, but let me push back on this. If he's not opposed to a late season return, why didn't he call the Jets when Aaron Rodgers went down?
Because he doesn't want to play with a team with a defensive coach and a terrible O-line. That's a terrible place to go. There is an absolute truth. Old quarterbacks need good O-lines, which why the Niners, to me, is not the best fit. Would be Jared Goff goes down Detroit. Kirk Cousins gets hurt, Atlanta. Those are great O-lines.
Wait a minute. Atlanta had no quarterback last year anyway. Why didn't he just go there? Come on.
Because it wasn't his first choice. Maybe he's waiting for the Niners. Jets is a bad O-line.
Well, it was bad. It's now better. Morgan Moses added. Tyron Smith.
Let me ask you
this.
They
got the guard from Baltimore. They're going to draft a guy.
Okay. On this show, had you ever mentioned Morgan Moses before this?
We often don't talk right tackles, but sometimes I like to get in the trenches.
Okay.
Actually, we do talk tackles. During the gambling NFL season, You know offensive line matters.
We love Lane Johnson. For the record, Lane, we love you.
Yeah, and just for the record, Jets have the best roster in the AFC East, and that's undeniable. You cannot even push back against that. Let's see the Jets. There's holes all over the place.
I do not want to take the audience through this nonsense.
But you'll talk 70s NBA with them, right? Okay.
You can't tell me that America isn't riveted when I bring up Jack Sikma. You can't.
Yeah, I know Jack Sikma because he played in the 80s. I know a little bit 80s. Yeah.
Okay. The 70s NBA just didn't have a dynasty. But it's when the NBA was reborn.
Didn't have a dynasty. Did they have a TV deal? I mean, they were on tape delay, bro. Come on. Jeez.
You forget. You think the 70s, the 70s and today has a lot. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches were great then. They're great now. We didn't have FaceTime, the distractions, all the silly apps. It was the same place. You loved your kids. You got to work.
I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit here. You're a big FaceTime guy. Every time I'm hanging out with you, you're on FaceTime.
No, FaceTime's the greatest invention outside of television.
Don't bash it here. FaceTime's good.
It's a little distracting, but it's the second best invention of my life to television. And I'm not talking medical inventions. I'm saying tech that we use. I don't need Zoom. I can live without Zoom.
How about air conditioning?
Well, again, I've never lived in Mobile, Alabama. Air conditioning made the South more viable with factories. Arizona's livable. Yes, I know that.
Well, Arizona, I thought we said we're out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. In my life and in my reality, TV FaceTime. What's that?
FaceTime number two.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.